Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is off to a good start to the week. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome into Press Row Malcolm Mackey. I did not have the pleasure of watching Malcolm at Brainerd because I was in college while he was at Brainerd, but Malcolm was a member of Brainerd's 1988 state championship team. I did get to cover Malcolm a bunch when he was at Georgia Tech. That was a lot of fun. He was a freshman on Tech's 1990 Final Four team and averaged more than 15 points a game each of his last three seasons. And then Malcolm went on to play with the Phoenix Suns and had a NBA career and then went over to Europe and living down in Atlanta now. Malcolm, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Doing fine. Before we get into Kobe and what all took place yesterday and your memories of him, to me, Malcolm, and you may feel the same way, this to me is the second big shock that I've experienced in the basketball world. The first one being the tragic death of Len Bias right after that 1986 NBA draft when he was picked up by the Celtics. Well, you know, if you go back to the Len Bias tragedy, what because you were at Brainerd then, what do you remember about experiencing that?
Yeah, it was three of them for me. I think it was Len Bias. I think it was Hank Gathers.
Okay.
And this one here as well. I remember Len Bias when he was playing at University of Maryland. He was my favorite player. It kind of reminded you of LeBron James, so to speak. Just a real powerful guy that looked forward to him having a bright future in the NBA with the Boston Celtics. And it was tragic, you know, one day seeing him, you know, sign the biggest shoe contract in the NBA history and then the next day he was dead, and it was just like, oh, my God, you know, that was tragic. And like you said, this, you know, I remember Hank Gathers. I thought that was an extremely tragic situation. And then you got this COVID, which is to me is more because of the family, the other people that was on that helicopter and his daughter being there. And, I mean, it's tough.
And I know you're slightly older than Kobe is, but I'm curious before, because I think y'all played some summer league games out in 96 in L.A. and kind of got to know who each other were, but when did you kind of first learn of this phenom named Kobe?
Well, I'm probably like everybody else. I think the first time I really actually heard about him, I think he was on Arsenio Hall, I think, back in the day, and he was like, that's when he was supposed to be taking brandy to the farm, and he was going pro and all that. And I was like, man, this guy's on top of the world, you know. And my first time beating him was like in summer league, and all the, you know, when he was coming in as a rookie, just he was with the Lakers, and I remember getting off the elevator in the hotel, and he was getting on. And he shook my hand. And he was like, "Hey, Malcolm Mackey." And he said, "Yeah, man, I love watching you play at Georgia Tech." And I was just like, you know, telling him thank you. I was like, "I appreciate it." And I was like, "Man, good luck to you as well in the NBA." This is before he, you know, blew up to be who he is today. But so it was just an honor that the, you know that Kobe even knew who I was at that particular time, and he gave me a compliment. I appreciate it now even more than ever years later, seeing what kind of player he was. And although I'm older than him, I still looked up to him, and it's because of his play and how just tremendously talented he was, but that no quit attitude. I mean, he was just really, really hardcore, and that Mamba mentality was real. And you can like apply that to all facets of your life, not just with sports, but even all facets of your life, male or female, it doesn't matter. You know, that could go to the housewife, you know, having to, you know, deal with kids, having to, you know, deal with a husband, having to cook food, pay bills, and you just feel tired and worn out, and that mama mentality gets you, move you over the edge. I mean, it could be for us at work, you know, one day being tired or having to compete and things like that, even on our jobs. You know, that mentality comes out in so many facets in all our world. So he meant a lot to everybody, whether you play sports or not.
Malcolm, that is a neat story you share with the scene in the elevator. I mean, when the All-Star appearances started happening for him and then the NBA championships, I imagine that's a neat thing to always reflect on, and how that just one encounter had to just mean more and more to you as the years passed.
Well, I mean, you know, basketball, man, when you make it to a certain level of basketball, you know, we all kind of know each other. And so when a guy like that, you know, says your name or all of us, we kind of know each other, you know, and it's part of a fraternity, you know what I'm saying? Once you get to a certain level, it's part of a fraternity. I've been in the room and Michael Jordan has even said my name before. Obviously, I'm not the same kind of great Hall of Fame player these guys were, but it's still somewhat of a fraternity and people kind of know each other. And so, yeah, as time went on and watching Kobe's greatness, you know, come out, not only happy for him, but I grew up a Laker fan. That's what made it so bad. As a kid, my favorite player was Magic Johnson. His number was 32. I picked 32 because I wanted to be a 6'9 point guard like Magic Johnson. And so it kind of went hand in hand with him being a Laker. And no matter where I was at playing ball in Europe or whatever, still watching the Lakers and still kind of being a fan of that team and playing against and with Shaquille O'Neal, it was, basketball is a small world. So, you know, it touches all of us.
You're listening to Malcolm Mackey, who helped lead Brainerd to the 1988 state championship. He was a freshman on Georgia Tech's 1990 Final Four team, averaged more than 15 points each of his last three seasons with the Yellow Jackets, played for the Phoenix Suns. You're listening to Malcolm here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
All right, Malcolm, I know you may have wanted to be a 6'9 point guard, but I'm willing to bet Robert Hyde told you to get your 6'11 ass back in the paint.
Absolutely. I guess I didn't have a four card excuse there, but for a guy like Magic Johnson to come at 6'9", you know, back in those days, man, if you was big and you wanted to dribble, they told you to get a ball up to the point guard where the game was now they allowing big guys now to actually dribble the ball. Now it wasn't like that back growing up in the '80s.
Well, Malcolm, I got a couple more NBA questions, and then I'm about to take you back to where you live. Because I grew up playing against Brian Oliver, man. So,
nice.
Yeah. So you and I, I actually played in a summer league game against you at the Smyrna Rec Center, and damn, man, you were hard to stop even in the late 90s.
It's funny that you mentioned Brian Oliver. I literally just got off the phone with him about 15 minutes ago. We were just talking. So, you know, it was, playing in the summer leagues and, you know, here in Atlanta. You know, and playing around in Atlanta when I left Chattanooga, Tennessee and came down here to Georgia Tech, I really, my game really went to another level when I was playing against other professional athletes. I remember playing against Kevin Willis and taking elbows from him in the summertime and playing with Dominique Wilkins along with a lot of other pro NBA players coming to town. And so, you know, those games, man, that's one of the things I missed about playing basketball when it was just a hot box, sweaty, playing skins and shirts, and ain't nobody in there, no referees in there, and you just playing for pride. That was just those are some of the times I really missed.
Is Vlade Divac for Kobe Bryant the worst trade in NBA history?
Looking back at it, I guess, man, you can say that, you know, in a way. But is Vlade a Hall of Famer? I mean, he had a pretty good career, but obviously it doesn't match with Kobe Bryant, but Vlade was. I did have a cup of coffee with Sacramento Kings, and he really was a good player, but obviously not on the Kobe Bryant level.
Did he smell like cigarettes? Did Vlade Divac smell like cigarettes?
Nah, I don't know him to be. I don't know him to be that way. I tell you what, he could do. He can handle that ball, man. You can get that ball to him on a break, and he can dribble that thing down and make a pass or a bounce pass to somebody with either hand. I thought he was very impressive.
All right, this day and the whole weekend has been dominated by the news. As someone who played at the highest level, I got to believe that there were equal parts awe and respect for a kid as young as Kobe Bryant all the way back into the Utah game to chuck up 5 air balls in like a quarter and a half, but to still have the bulletproof belief that he was going to make every single one of those. I don't even know how you even reconcile with that as a guy who played at that level. You got to go, well, okay, what is he doing? And then, okay, damn, this guy believes that he's going to get it done every single time.
Well, I mean, that, you know, if you've been around Kobe, man, and you've met him or you talked to him before, you will realize that he always carried himself, it wasn't arrogance. It was more like, he was a very confident kid coming out of high school. You got to think, I mean, how difficult it was. Just me, when I came into the league, you know, playing 4 years, in college and what I had been through, I'm just trying to imagine a kid who's had it so much so early and coming in there with grown men right out of high school and still having the confidence to challenge your heroes. I mean, and we're talking about playing ball in the early to mid-90s. You talk about a very physical game. You can hand check a little bit. You know, it wasn't like kind of like how people are playing.
A little bit?
Game how it's played
a little
game.
Bit?
Yeah, it was a lot more physical. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so for a kid to come into that era as a teenager and still have the confidence of shooting those air balls, and then I heard that he shot those air balls, and when he got back home after a playoff game, he went to a gym and went to shoot after the game. So that goes to show you the kind of tenacity that he had. Kobe was not the kind of guy that was going to be hanging out at bars and clubs and stuff like that with other players in the NBA. He'd be somewhere shooting jumpers or something, you know, working on his game or watching film or something of that nature. He just wasn't, you know, he put more into the game of basketball and dedicated his body, his mind, spirit, everything he actually had into the game. Definitely.
You're listening to Malcolm Mackey, the former star at Brainerd High School, Georgia Tech, played with the Phoenix Suns. You're listening to Malcolm here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Malcolm, you and I share a love for the Showtime Lakers. I mean, that's one of my favorite teams of all time. I absolutely detested the Celtics. But Magic said that Kobe is the best Laker of all time. Is that one of those things you've just got to defer to the magic of wisdom, you know, Magic's wisdom, even though Magic was our favorite player?
Well, you know what it is, man. That's always based upon opinion. You know who's the best. I mean, some people can say Kareem Jabbar was the best player. Some people may say Magic. Some people may say Shaq. Some people may say Kobe. I mean, that's all a matter of opinion. And, you know, opinions, everybody got one. But one thing we can say is that, you know, being blessed enough to have watched Kobe come in as a teenager into the league and pretty much watch him grow into becoming a man. And for me, you know, just watching to see, you know, not only what he did on the court, but I was just watching the man that he had became, being married and being a father to four beautiful little girls, and just seeing what he was doing after the game is over, because it's really tough to transition from the game of basketball and then having to make that transition afterwards. And to see him and what he was doing and what he was on, winning the Oscar and just being that family man. A lot of people didn't think, they thought that he would just lose his mind because if he took basketball from him, like he wasn't nothing else. And I try to tell people all the time, many of us athletes were more than just what we did on the basketball court. Basketball may have taught us everything and gave us the foundation of who we are as men and women, but it's more to us than just the game of basketball. And Kobe was showing that, and unfortunately he's out of here at 41. Him and his little girl. I mean, it's such a tragic thing, and I am so, I can't even imagine what his wife and his kids, I just can't even imagine, you know, what they're going through. We all should just be praying for them, and when you get a chance, man, hug the people that you love, you know, and hug the people that you love, tell somebody that you love them, and always, you always got to think about our legacy, how we want to be remembered. You know, times like this makes me think about how I want to be remembered by other people, and just, you know, treat somebody nice, you know, do something for someone, tell somebody you love them, hug your kids, and just, you know, try not to be bitter towards anyone, and just think about your legacy and how you want people to remember you when you're gone.
Malcolm, you've obviously been remembered as a great player in Chattanooga. You were a great player in Atlanta at Georgia Tech. You're in Atlanta now. What, for those in the audience are like, hey, what's Malcolm doing now? What are you doing down in Atlanta?
Well, I'm a team leader and manager over at Mercedes-Benz, the Buckhead in Atlanta, Georgia. We're the largest Mercedes-Benz dealer in the Southeast, one of the largest on the East Coast. I've been in the car business since I retired. Been doing very well at it and love it. Work for an outstanding family called Greg and Juanita Barranco down in Atlanta, Georgia, and living in Buckhead. You know, did a good job raising my kids, and kids are grown and married, and I got a son that just graduated college and has ambition on playing football at the next level, trying to work on that situation there, and just, you know, just being a man and just trying to be a leader in my community, and just trying to do everything I can to live a good, positive life, and, you know, trying to give back when I can.
All right, Malcolm, when we have great guests like you, we love to close with a rapid fire, just first thing off the top of the head. Ready to play?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, in one word, what's the best way to describe Kobe Bryant as a player?
Legendary.
All right, when you were in the ACC, did you hate Christian Laettner like the rest of America?
No, I didn't. I thought he was great. It was very hard to defend.
Who would you, along those same lines, who did you get more satisfaction out of beating, UNC or Duke?
Tough one. I probably would say UNC. I got greater satisfaction of you beating USC because I think I actually beat them more than I beat Duke. I never won in Duke. I never won at Duke in Cameron State. I never won up there, but I did win in the Dean Smith Center, so I won in there.
If you messed up, who gave you a harsher tail chewing, Bobby Crimmins or Robert High?
Let's see. They both would, man. You talk about some guys who really, you know, push you to be better. So I would say, I would probably say both. You know,
That's good.
Both of them had that. Yeah, both of them.
Who was the toughest player you had to guard when you were in the NBA?
In the NBA, I would probably say Akeem Olajuwon.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Oh, dear God, man.
Well, Akeem Olajuwon, I mean, they all tough. I mean, when you ask that question, I play anybody, Shaq or a lot of other players. I mean, it was tough playing against a lot, but Akeem Olajuwon was literally embarrassed. I mean, you guarded him, and I mean, you really would look like you really don't belong in the NBA. So it was like, you know, with him, you play against other people, they can outplay you. But it's one thing to be outplayed. It's another thing when someone makes you just embarrass you. He's turning right, you're going left. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's embarrassing.
Malcolm, I've got 1,000 more questions for you, and I know you got a full day. Don't be a stranger, man. You are great at this. You need to come back on Press Row a lot.
Hey, man, you guys know where I'm at, man. I'm always, you know, I love for people to hear my voice and hear, you know, hear what my opinions on things. And it's always nice, man, to get that point of view out to the masses. So, because I like to also be able to tell the truth and get people to get it from someone who actually been there and actually seen it. And so you can get some facts about not just this topic, but other topics as well. Because I get into these type of debates with people a lot, whether I'm at work or at the barbershop or whatever. So it's good to be able to get the facts out and get the truth out. I'm always here.
And Malcolm, you never know, somebody may need a Mercedes Benz. They just cruise down to Buckhead. Look Malcolm Mackey up.
Hey, man, come on down. I take good care. Get you a Chattanooga special.
Malcolm, listen, great, great stuff. Thank you so much. Congratulations on all the success you've had. And thank you so much for coming back to your roots and joining us here on Press Row here in Chattanooga.
Always, man, always. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Malcolm Mackey, the standout at Brainerd High School, Georgia Tech, the Phoenix Suns, joining us here on Press Row. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to ESPN 105.1 The Zone.